Let's pray, and we'll jump in this. God, thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that those things would be enough, God, for us just to run toward you to worship you. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather corporately here. God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take that for granted, but God, that we would see this as a great opportunity for us to spend time with you, to be in awe of who you are. And God, I just pray, Lord, that that would be our heart this morning, God, that this would all be for you. May it be for your glory that we've gathered here. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, we are continuing the core series, and this series is really about our core convictions. If you hadn't been around for any of this, and we've talked about some of the others of those, which were the gospel and scripture and Jesus, and this morning we're talking about worship. Talking about worship and why that is a core conviction for 24 Church, and why it should be honestly a core conviction for any church. And this morning, I think it's worth noting right off the bat, you know, one of the reasons that this is a core conviction is because this is what we were created to do. We were created to worship. It's what we do. We do it all the time. We don't realize we're doing it all the time, but we're doing it all the time. At some point in time, if I just caught you in the middle of the week and just said, hey, what are you doing right now? Well, you go, well, I'm working on this thing or whatever. Well, if that is what's getting your adoration for that moment, then at that moment, that's what you're worshiping. And so it's this understanding that God created us to worship. Now, the truth is, yeah, we worship all the time. We're worshiping all kinds of different things. But the truth is that he created us to do this so that we would worship him. The truth is, I think, you know, for many of us as Christians, especially us church people Christians that, you know, have grown up in the church or whatever, I think oftentimes that's not enough for us, which is really honestly pretty silly. Like, we have to tie ourselves, and I'm speaking to, like, folks that serve here, and we've got some awesome people that serve with great hearts and everything. This is not an attack. This is something that I'm convicted about myself as I'm teaching. But we just get in this mode where, like, we think that we've got to, like, tie ourselves to some ministry, be the leader of something, be on some trip, be somewhere doing, you know, just some right, that worshiping God by himself is not enough. We have to, like, create this identity around us. And what we wind up doing is we wind up worshiping other things, other, you know, many of them good intentions. We worship ministries. We worship songs. We worship, a Bible verse or, you know, we just, you know, whatever. And we're kind of missing it sometimes because we're forgetting that this is really about worshiping God. This is him. This is not us. It's not about worshiping the church. You know, I love our church. But I got to be honest with you. It's got a lot of flaws if you hadn't noticed. We're full of people. And the truth is that we, people, are hard to deal with. And we're sinful. And we are definitely with fault. And so for us to understand that, you know, our worship doesn't need to hinge on these other things. It needs to hinge on Jesus and Jesus alone. It's huge. For us to understand that we are adoring things all the time. You know, the old school, you know, joke I heard Andy Stanley say this one time. He was talking about, and you've heard me maybe mention this, but he's talking about how he grew up in a church where, you know, his dad was a great pastor, and, you know, he always taught that, that worship was something, you know, that we only give to God. We are giving God the glory, and it's all about God. But then he grew up in a church where he would go to the church, and he would get there, and there would be these chairs on stage, and they look like thrones. Like a king would sit in or something. You know, and he would always, you know, just kind of like scratch his head going, you know, what's up with the thrones on the stage where we're worshiping God, you know? You know, and it's kind of, and he kind of makes, you know, light of it and is kind of joking around about it. But the truth is that we fall into this pattern of worshiping things and people and, you know, our identity as, you know, what we do for our work or who we have as relationships. And it's so dangerous because what we end up doing is we all have a throne in our life and we end up putting other things on the throne other than God. Exodus 20 talks about this. Exodus 20 verse 3 says this. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God," whoa, "visiting the iniquity of your fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of you who love and keep my commandments." And that's important. This is important. Just the whole loving and keeping God's commandments. Here's something about worship. You know, when we worship something, it's generally because we love it. And you may say, well, I catch myself worshiping my job, but I hate my job. Okay, so that's not the root. What's the root? Anybody? Money. We find our identity in that thing because that gives us money, and we end up really, what we worship is money. It's not maybe the job because we don't like the job. Or maybe it's we like the job and we like the status that the job comes with. You know, we like what, you know, what we like what that brings, and so that's cool, and so we worship because of that. And it's this whole idea, you know, that we love things, and when we're loving, we're worshiping many times. And the truth is that if we love God, we will be about keeping his commandments. Case in point, I love my wife. I'm not always good at loving my wife, but I love my wife. And when I've got my head screwed on straight, and I'm thinking about how much I love my wife and how much she means to me, and I think about what a godly woman she is and a godly wife and a godly mother, and I just think, man, and it almost overwhelms me at times to think about, because I'm just going, what in the world is she doing with me? I have pulled the blanket over her eyes. And the truth is as I begin to think about how much I love her, it brings me to a place of wanting to do things for her. Wanting to please her. It's no different with God. We say that we love God, but we don't keep his commandments. Over and over again, we see this in Scripture. And over again, we put other gods before him. We make carved images and we love them so much that they become things that we are after and we are worshiping and we are just going for those things instead of going for God. Matthew 22. It's a passage that we've read here a lot at 24 Church, because this is really the passage that was, you know, actually the Mark passage that's the equivalent. We built our mission statement off of. And this is where Christ comes and he has a guy walk up to him and says, "Jesus, tell me what the greatest commandment is." And when I think about this verse, when I think about this passage, I always think about, like, you know, some, you know, famous person that we would all like to go sit down with, and, you know, maybe we worship them a little too much. But, you know, we've got this person, probably, if I were to ask you, you know, if you had, you know, 5 minutes with them and you got one question, what would you ask? And this guy goes to Jesus and he says, "What is the greatest commandment?" And it says this, verse 35, it says, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.'" And it keeps going here. It says, "And the second is like this, is like it. 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" And so, this understanding that a guy walks up to Jesus and says, "Give me the greatest commandment." Jesus spits out, "Love God." Hello. But then on top of that, he also just goes, you know, "Well, while I'm at it, I'm just going to go ahead and give you this too. Love people. Love your neighbor." And you say, "Okay, Chris, I get it. I'm supposed to love God." I think the issue is us not getting the fact that we're supposed to love God. I think the issue is that many times we don't love God. We say we love God. We, you know, and we mean in our hearts, if I asked you, do you love God? And you said, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, Jesus has saved me, and I'm so eternally grateful, and, you know, all this stuff, you know, and I'm sure you'd rattle off like 15 Bible school answers or whatever. You know, but the truth is if we love God, then we're keeping his commandments, right? I mean, that's what Scripture said. If our worship is real, if we really love him, our worship is real, right? So what's our worship look like? Well, I just, and please don't take this as like the checklist for worship. I'm not after you having some type of checklist for worship. And it's not like some complete list. I just jotted some things down that came to my mind. They're in no particular order. It's just as I thought of them, I wrote them down. But I've got this list I want to share with you. And these are some things that we do that are acts of worship when they are done in the right heart. They can be acts of worship, I should say. And so, you know, we've got pray and sing and study Scripture, serve and give, and, you know, loving others, all these things. You know, it makes good sense. And I think for us to look at that is important for us just to kind of ask ourselves, where are we with worshiping God? This is important as well. We're going to leave that up there for a second. This is important. You know, the church, you know, we've talked about this a couple times, I think Ben first brought it up, is you know, both gathered and scattered. You know, it's this idea that the church is here, we are corporately here right now. Mostly, I guess technically, you know, we had a bunch of people here earlier and they're not here with us now, but the truth is we are gathering as the church right now, so we are corporately gathered right now. And so then, you know, we will leave here today and then we will be the church scattered. We are no less the church. We are still very much the church. We're all parts of the body of Christ. But the truth is if that's true, then our worship also is gathered and scattered. We worship God corporately, which is very biblical and important, and we worship God scattered. We worship God going out. And in fact, the truth is one of the biblical reasons that I think that we see for worshiping God corporately is that we come and it becomes the fuel for what turns into the mission that God calls us to. Because when we spend time with God, when we worship God, he changes our hearts. You get that? That makes sense. You know, we spend time with God in Scripture. We spend time praying. We spend time serving. One of the guys in our church sent out this thing on Facebook a few weeks ago because he went and he helped out the guys that were at the fairs, you know, making the crosses and sharing Christ. And he just was talking about how just, you know, he just seen, you know, two young girls just come to Christ at the Robertson County Fair. And I could tell it was, God was changing him in that moment. God was changing his mission in that moment. And you see, here's where we make this mistake. We are so good at planning everything out that we completely leave God out of the process and completely leave no room for God to change the mission. Because as we pray, as we sing, if we're really worshiping during those things, God begins to convict our hearts about things. He begins to convict our hearts about sin that we have in our life that we should confess and repent of. He convicts our heart when we're studying Scripture, shows us more, again, of the mission of who he's called us to be, to serve the same thing. And by the way, serving is not just at church. It's part of it. Definitely a part of being the body of Christ. Part of being the body of Christ corporately is finding a place to serve. And we understand that biblically. But it's not just at church. It's out. It's everywhere else. That we're serving people at work. Let me ask, are you kinder to people at church than you are at work? Because we're great at doing like the church thing. We've got like, you know, come to church and like, oh, hey, how y'all doing? Oh, we're good. We're good. You know, like you got like, you know, kid on your arm, and you just came out of a car wreck on the way to church, but like, oh no, we're good, and like, kids like got poop running down your arm, and you're like, oh no, we're great, and like smiling, and like, oh yeah, yo, we're awesome. Liars. If you were at work, and that happened, you'd be like, man, had a stinking car wreck on the way here, and that guy, I don't even think he's got insurance. And, you know, my shirt's ruined today. So I've got a meeting in a little while, and, you know, I'm going to have to go in smelling like that. And, you know, it's just, you know. These things, when done as worship, change our hearts and change our direction and give us the real mission of God. It does us no good to like plan God's mission for him. You know, I'll fall into this. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor and as a minister, you know, just in planning events or planning church stuff, you know, you just kind of get in the mode of, you know, well, it'd be good to do this here, good to do that there. And there's this balance, though, of like how much are you just planning because you want to do something and you want to see God do something, and how much is like I've spent time in prayer and I've spent time in scripture and God has convicted my heart over the men of our church not being godly men. Bam. That's how stuff like October is born. And it's no different for any of us. We're all ministers of the gospel. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a minister of the gospel. You are a missionary right here. Me and Ben were talking about this week. When we first started the church, you know, one of the important things that I kept telling people that wanted to be a part of the church, be a part of the core group and helping the church, is I just kept looking at them going, this isn't for you. This isn't for you, and you may not like it. Only come if you feel led to be a missionary to be a part of this. We're hoping to start a church in East Nashville in about a year. And we're going to send out people from here to go be a part of that. Ben will be the pastor of it. We've got other guys that are also looking at doing this. And here's the thing. As that happens, same thing. We'll be looking at those people going, don't go, thinking that they're going to like, you know, spoon feed you. You're going as a missionary. But the truth is that should be for all of us all the time if we know Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's the greatest commandment Jesus gives us. And it's what we build love God, love people on. So, Chris, that's really all about God. Yeah, it is. But Jesus, without being asked, pretty much marries these things together and says, you got to love God and you got to love people. That's the great commandment. The guy wasn't looking for two answers. He was looking for one, but Jesus gives him two. And I think that that's important to us because if we really love God, then we really do love people. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9 says this. It says, as the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I see a lot of Christians who have no joy founded in the gospel. They have founded their joy on emotional moments in their life, and they have founded their joy on friendships, and they have founded their joy on all these other things. Sometimes they find their joy in their church or their ministry, and the truth is that those are things that are always going to fail us at some point in time. Because we are imperfect and we are sinful. And Jesus is saying, abide in my love. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You want to know what it means to be in God's will? Live gospel. Live out his truth. Live out the good news that Jesus Christ died on a cross and saved us from eternal damnation. That's living the gospel. for us to abide in his love sometimes is just us doing what we know we're supposed to do, being obedient. One of the things that was on that list was obedience. Just obey God. You see, I love Erin so much that I want to do things for her when I really think about how much I love her. I want to spoil her. I love God so much that if I really love him, I want to keep his truth. I want to live the gospel. I want to love him even more. And it brings me to wanting to love other people because I see them lost or I see them struggling. And I go, you know what? They need God's love right now. I need to show that to them. Verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Looking for happiness? There it is. Straight from the King of Kings. Straight from the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, the man who died on the cross to forgive us of our sins, is looking at us and saying, if you will just follow me, follow my commandments, do what I've called you to do, be on mission for me, really love me, joy. You say, well, Chris, there have been moments in my life that I have known that I really felt like God was leading me to do something, but if I had done that thing, I might not have made as much money. Or it might not have made as much sense to all of my friends and family. I'm with you on both parts. The truth is that when we do those things, we will find true joy in Jesus Christ. When we follow him with all of our hearts, when we love him with all of our mind, soul, it's an amazing thing that takes place. And the truth is that if we're not loving God, then we're just being a part of senseless religion. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of senseless religion. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to be religious. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to do things just for the sake of that there's some tradition that some guy came up with along the way. I want to do things because God said, do this. Follow me in this. Be on mission for me in this. Be the church scattered doing this. Loving God, worshiping God is a conviction because it is what we are created to do, it is what we are called to do, and it is the gasoline that burns in the motor that drives the mission that God has called us to. Because when we worship God, we come away changed. Hebrews 12 says this. Hebrews 12, verse 28. It says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's not something you hear every day, is it? Because guys, let's face it, we want to please each other. There's men in this room that I want them to think good of me. I want them to think highly of me because I respect them, honestly. That's that whole love respect thing. Men need respect. Check it out, Ephesians 5, it's at the end. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. I'm sorry, that's Colossians 3:23. And then Hebrews 12, verse 28 says this, says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That verse 28, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I mean, you hear the power in that? You hear the awesomeness in that? You hear like what God is doing in that? You hear that like he's basically put together the most incredible, unbelievable thing possible and we get to be a part of that. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, Chris, you know, I got a lot of consuming fires burning these days. I got a lot of things that consume my time and consume my adoration and my love. And I honestly just don't know how in the world to find time for God. And to be real honest with you, with all these things, I really can't even focus on worshiping God. If you're having trouble worshiping God, let me give you this. And you can come back to this each and every time. We come to God because we have a sin problem. You know what I'm talking about? You and I have a sin problem, and we cannot overcome it by ourselves. Our sins will get us every single time. We come to God because we have a sin problem, and we worship Him because He took care of that sin problem. We can worship Him because He sent His Son to die on the cross. And I don't know about you, but you know, in the grand scheme of like great things to worship and reasons to worship things, I mean, I can come up with a lot of reasons to worship things, but the truth is that none of them compare to the fact that Christ gave His life on the cross. That's a reason to worship. That's our reason to worship. If we're having a moment where we're so self-absorbed that we can't see God for who He is, and He's not enough by Himself just to worship Him, all we've got to do is remember that. We got a sin problem, and He fixed it. It's gone. And we're forever changed because of it. That's who God is. He's our Savior. John Piper says this, and I've quoted it 1,000 times, I think, but I love it. And he says, and we have this on screen, I think, says, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. And what that means is that if we as the church worshiped God like He has created us to and has called us to, we wouldn't have to take a mission trip. We wouldn't have to sponsor another pastor in Africa or Seattle. Because the people of God, if they were really on mission and worshiping God, their worship would change our culture. Would change it. And the truth is that my worship and your worship should change your culture and my culture. And it ends up sending us on mission. And for 24 Church, it means this. The vision for 24 Church is that we would be a worshiping church. That in all of those things, and all the other things that I didn't have on the list, but that in everything that we would do, that we would worship God. That as we serve, that we're worshiping God, that we're praying, God, use me in this moment to love on this person. That as we give an offering, that in that moment we are praying, God, use this and multiply it and use it for your kingdom, and may my church be faithful with it. Over the last couple of years, I've heard so many pastor friends of mine talk to me and ask me for prayer because their church has really been hit by the economy. And I'll be real honest with you, we've been very blessed. I think part of it is because our church has continued to grow. And we've had a lot of people. Some exciting things going on, but the truth is we met this past week with our finance team, and they carried the news to us that over the last couple of months it's not been that great. Now we've still grown in number to some degree, And so we're kind of left scratching our heads, and we're going, you know, is this the economy? What is this? And at the end of the day, I think, you know, there is some incredibly tough times for some of us right now. But at the end of the day, I think that this is really still just a loving God issue. It's a worship issue. Because I'll be honest with you, I know that God has given us a mission to do things in 2011. We've got a student ministry that's running 50, sometimes 60 kids on Wednesday nights. And we've got a guy that is our youth pastor, youth minister, that is, you know, just given tons of time to this, and he's just heart and soul all in it, and he's never received one red cent from our church. Scripture tells me that I should take care of him and his family, and I can't do that right now. Furthermore, we're kind of at this position. The church is kind of large, and I don't know if you've noticed or not, but, you know, me and Joey and Nathan and Ben and us, we're pretty scatterbrained sometimes. We need an assistant to keep us all straight. We can't do that. What about planting a church in East Nashville? We're going to be faithful to doing what God has led us to do. I see a team coming together, and we've hardly even announced it. God's already working in that. And so I'm kind of left going like, God, what are you doing right now? What is this moment of, like, you know, the offerings just dropped off all of a sudden over the last 2 months in the midst of you just, like, giving us stuff that you want us to be on mission? And then I come to this, and I study for this week, and I'm going, this is a worship issue. This is a loving God issue. This is a faithfulness issue. And so in all the things that we do, not just our giving, but in all the things that we do, let's be faithful to God. Let's pursue Him and what He's called us to do. Our mission starts with our worship, and then it becomes the fuel for what fires it off. I close with this. William Shedd said this. He said, a ship is safest in the harbor. But that is not what the ship was built for. And it's not what we were built for either. We weren't built to be sitters. We were built to be standers for the kingdom of God, to be runners for the kingdom of God, to be fighters for the kingdom of God. And God is calling us to come out of the harbor and be on mission for Him. We're going to talk about some mission stuff in a couple of weeks. But this morning, I got to ask you, do you love God? Because if you don't love God, the mission's not there. And you may be here this morning, you may say, you know, Chris, I don't know if I do love God. I don't think I'm a Christian. I'd love to talk to you about that. Some other guys that would love to talk to you about that. We'll be back here in the back at the end of the service as soon as I walk off here. The truth is, if God is speaking to your heart today, if he's messing with you on the inside and just saying, run to me, come to me, give it all to me, listen to Him. Listen to Him. There is no greater joy than that is found in Jesus Christ. Don't live a safe life. Love God and let Him change the mission of your life. We weren't built to stand in the way of what He wants to do for the kingdom of God. Let's live for the glory of God. Let's live lives of worship. Let's pray together. God, this morning, time and time again, God, you know that I don't even feel worthy to do this. And God, I'm not, except for the fact that you've saved me through the cross. God, through that some miraculous way, God, you've made me righteous in your eyes, because when you see me, you see Jesus. You see His blood instead of seeing the sin that I ought to be killed for. God, I pray that my life would be worth something to your kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, that that would be our prayer as a church this morning, that our lives would be worth something for your kingdom and not our own. God, that we wouldn't be about building our kingdom, that we'd be about building your kingdom. God, that we wouldn't be about building a church name, but God, we'd be about building your name. Because God, your name is holy. Your name is mighty. Your name is unbelievable. And your name should be worshipped. And so, Father, I pray that we could worship you in spirit and in truth. God, with all of our hearts, may our worship be real to you. May it change us. May it change this world. May it put us on mission. God, this is what we're created for. As we continue to worship you in the next few moments through different things, God, I pray, Lord, that we would just do so with all of our hearts. We love you, Lord, and we thank you so much for Jesus.